The changing of the guard on Capitol Hill this coming January means the exit of one of Massachusetts' most influential congressmen. Barney Frank has spent 40 years serving the Commonwealth, first as a state representative on Beacon Hill in the 1970s, and then for 16 terms in the Congress on Capitol Hill. Frank has always been a student of history, direct, and one who doesn't suffer fools gladly.
And when people say, oh, well, you were too abrupt, my answer is, okay, here's the list of things I hope to do today. Please tell me which of these you think I should not do so that I can spend more time listening to someone tell me for the third time what I told them in the first place I already agreed with.
We went to Frank's office in Newton this week, where he opened the conversation by quizzing me about the faces in a photograph of state lawmakers from the 1970s. I did recognize a few, but I think Frank could have named them all. Then we talked about giving up the House seat and the power and what's ahead for Frank in retirement and how he hopes to be even more influential.
In some ways, I think I may have more of an impact on the public debate being out of office because people screen what elected officials say through a pretty heavy veil of skepticism. Oh, you're just saying that because you're running for office. You're pandering to the voters. I can't think of any issues in which my views are going to change, and I hope they'll be, frankly, taken with a little fewer grains of salt.
You're leaving Capitol Hill at a time when gridlock is the word of the day. We should know within a few weeks if lawmakers will find a way around, at least in terms of the fiscal cliff, budget cuts and tax hikes due to come in at the start of the new year. How concerned are you for the upcoming legislative session if the atmosphere doesn't change on the Hill?
Well, I think it will get better, not because people suddenly had personality changes and read, listened to Dr. Phil and decided to get along with each other better, but because the election of 2012 somewhat broke the tie that was created by the elections of 2008 and 2010.
So then in the end, you think Democrats and Republicans will work together to figure out how to fix the fiscal cliff, so to speak?
Prior to this election, both sides were dug in, saying, I'm not going to give in on anything major before the next election because I may win it and be able to do better.
So then, what do you think the compromise will include?
Well, there's no point in speculating it right now. Let's put it this way. There will not be a compromise unless there are significant increases in tax revenues. I think at least of $1 trillion. I hope it's $1.6 trillion. And some constraints on military spending, and then some limits on domestic spending.
Many people, as you know, admire you because in 1987 you publicly announced you were gay, becoming the first sitting member of Congress to voluntarily come out. A lot's been written about how difficult a decision it was for you, nerve-wracking at the time and for some time after that. Any regrets about making the decision the way you made it?
No. Well, yes, I wish I'd done it earlier. The problem was my good friend and colleague who died tragically early, Gary Studs, had been forced to acknowledge that he was gay several years earlier. I wanted a little dust settle because we represented adjacent districts in southeastern Massachusetts, and it just would have been too much of a kind of source of comment, contrary. Oh, look at that. What's going on? You know, is there something in the water in Bristol County, Massachusetts? So I would have done it a little earlier, but no, I was pleasantly surprised. It didn't have the negative consequences I thought.
Given all this, if there are members of Congress serving now who haven't come out, do you think that they should?
One, I think it is better for the society and for the individual if you're out. I think the way that we have defeated the prejudice, and I think we're on the way to defeating it, is by people being honest about who we are. And the reality defeats the prejudice, but if people are closeted, then they don't see our reality. I think there is a right to privacy still, but not a right to hypocrisy. And I have been very critical, and I think it is entirely legitimate for people to out people who they know to be gay or lesbian who vote anti-gay. I think that kind of hypocrisy is intolerable.
Have you ever been tempted to do that up on Capitol Hill?
No, because I've got a different role there. I've got to work within the institution, and I had to constrain myself. Well, you have to do that. I've encouraged others to do that in some cases. But no, I did allude at one point to one gay Republican. It was a fellow named Dave Dreyer who was temporarily named majority leader of the House when Tom DeLay had to retire because of his legal difficulties, they then announced that the reason Dreyer had to withdraw was that he was too moderate. Well, in fact, he was not particularly moderate. He was pretty much of a mainstream conservative. And I did, at that point, I was asked if I thought it was accurate that Dave Dreyer had been denied the majority leadership because he was too moderate. And I said yes, in the sense that after the moderate pride parade, you might want to go to a moderate bar.
Coming back to the very big picture here, as you look back on all your years up on Capitol Hill, what advice do you have for the members of Congress that you're leaving behind, but especially for Joe Kennedy III, who's going to succeed you up there?
Your most precious, your scarcest resource is your time. You cannot conceive when you first get elected to Congress how many people are going to be trying to waste your time, how much they will be demanding that you be with them. You're going to invite it to receptions and people want to come and have courtesy calls on you. I've told people finally, you know what would be a courtesy call? Show me the courtesy of not wasting my time. The second thing is a very practical piece of advice that you get out to the Congress, if you haven't done this before, you'll get invited places and they will give you T-shirts and mugs and caps and plaques. And it is very important to not throw anything away within 1 mile of where it was given to you.
Forgive me, but it sounds like you got caught in that at one point.
A little experience there, yes.
Let me ask you one more question. How does Barney Frank want to be remembered?
That's not a question you can answer yourself. I mean, that's I think that leads to either an unattractive arrogance or an unbelievable humility.
And you don't want to go on the record with either right now, I take it.
Again, an honest politician's credo is you tell the truth and nothing but the truth, but sometimes you've got to leave the whole truth to other people.
It's been a great pleasure talking to you over all these years. I hope we have many more conversations in the future. But in the meantime, very good luck to you and thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
After Barney Frank retires at the beginning of January, he plans to write two books, one on liberalism and the other on the history of the gay rights movement, which he says he's uniquely positioned to do.
I've been involved literally for 40 years in every movement to try and diminish the prejudice based on sexual orientation and later gender identity. And I want to write about that.